In a box in my daughter's bedroom at home, there are 5 brand new, 1-day-old baby kittens. They are so cute. They are fluffy and tortoise-colored and the sweetest little things ever. But here's the thing. One of those shouldn't be here. One of those almost died yesterday. And, you know, it's alive, humanly speaking, because I was there. Because I chose to lean in and try to fight for that baby kitten's life. I have a story I want to share with you. And, well, it goes along with our theme, why do you do what you do? You know, God has a purpose for each of us. And, well, a kitten is a really big purpose, but He has even greater purpose for me and for you. And I want to tell you about that, springboarding from this really sweet kitten story. I'm going to cue the intro and then be right back to share that with you and then to challenge you about what purpose God has for you with your life. As precious as kittens are, if you belong to Jesus, then your purpose is about way more than even that. Welcome to the Family Disciple Me podcast. Our goal is to catalyze devotion-driven discipleship in our own lives and relationships and then around the world. We do this through easily accessible biblical resources that help us meet with God and make Him known. We call this Seek Him, Speak Him. You can find out more about this, our ministry, and our resources at familydiscipleme.org. Hi, my name is Tasha Williams. I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. So let's spend this moment together seeking God in His Word about what He first has to say to us. My daughter's cat, Alfalfa, was pregnant. And yesterday morning, she began to show the signs that, well, she was going into labor. Unfortunately, it was the day that my daughter had her college classes. So, guess who was in charge of watching the laboring cat? Yours truly. It was my job yesterday, and actually that coincided with what was for me a very, very full day. So, I was in and out watching Alfalfa as she labored, taking care of her, making sure she was doing okay, and then going back to my chores and the things that I needed to do. Alfalfa was a first-time mom, not particularly interested in my company or my help, so I didn't hover over her too much. I just checked in on her sporadically, and finally, I checked in on her, and she had her first baby. The cutest little thing. I texted Journey Grace and told her, Alfalfa's had her first baby. Baby number one is here. We had been taking bets about how many babies Alfalfa was actually going to have. So we were so excited. Baby number one was here. And Alfalfa, not being interested in my watch care over her, just went back to business. And so I went back to mine. I did what I needed to do. And a little while later, I came back and checked on her. And she was laying there in her little bed, nursing a couple of kitten babies. But I noticed a trail of blood. And I thought, uh-oh. And I followed the trail, and I saw where it led. And down to the side, below and behind a box, there was a tiny little kitten baby. I reached over and I picked it up, and the baby was ice cold. There was absolutely no sign of life about it. And I knew that this baby was either dead or was right on the cusp of dying. It broke my heart to have to tell Journey Grace that one of her babies had died. And as I was standing there trying to decide what to do, holding this ice cold baby in my hands, I felt the tiniest stirring of life. So I just began praying, asking God, help me, show me what to do to try to save this baby kitten's life. I ran into the house with it in my hands, and I was searching for the heating pad, which I never could find. So I decided to improvise with a pillowcase and rice, and I poured some rice into that pillowcase and shoved it in the microwave and turned it on and heated it up. And as soon as I got that rice bag back out, I enveloped the baby kitten inside of that. There were still no stirrings of life, but I was hoping, praying that that rice bag would heat that little one's body back up, because the little one had fallen away and behind it was covered with dust and dirt and just grossness. And so as I had it nestled in that warm rice bag, I went over to the sink and began to clean it one limb at a time, to clean off its face and its head and its lungs. And I started to just massage it even more aggressively, hoping to maybe push, stir, compel some more life into this little one. And all of a sudden, it began to move. And my heart filled with hope, and I kept doing what I was doing. I got this baby cleaned up, and I felt him start to move a little bit more. And eventually, I went back out to the garage, and the baby was still ice cold, but it was kind of starting to turn its head a little bit. And then suddenly, I heard the softest little mew. And my heart just jumped for joy. And I kept praying and I kept warming up the little thing, ran back in, reheated the rice bag and nestled it again and kept heating it up. And eventually I decided to take a chance and take the baby kitten back over to its mama. So maybe it would try to nurse. I didn't know if she would accept the baby or not, but I put the baby against her body, against her warmth on one side, and I put the rice bag still warm on the baby's other side, and I stood there watching out for the other kitten babies, but watching the one who was on death's door to see if it would be rejuvenated enough that it could nurse. And finally, I saw its head turn, and I watched its mama, Alfalfa, let it be. Let it stay there, warm, nestled against her body. After a few minutes, I stepped away just to let nature take its course and Mama take back over. And I stepped out and I just kept praying, asking God to save this kitten's life. A little while later, I came back in to check on them, and the baby by now was warm. The mama's body, the rice bag had heated the baby back up, and it was nursing. It was a miracle. I can't even tell you how happy I am that I fought for that kitten's life. I truly believe that most people would have left that kitten for dead because it was ice cold. It wasn't moving. There was no sign of life about it, except that I held it in my hands for a while. I held it close, and then I felt that tiniest stir of life. I left the mama and her three babies just checking on them occasionally. And then an hour or two later, when I went back to check on them again, there were two more babies, a total of five babies. And by the time Journey Grace got home from school, you could hardly tell which one had almost died compared to the other four, as Mama Cat had taken care of all of them and cleaned them all off and was letting all of them press up against her body. I know it's just a kitten, but there was something really significant about that story, about what happened in my life yesterday. Because see, there were five kittens, and I'm pretty sure it was the second one that fell off and that was ice cold and almost died. And then there were four other ones that were healthy and well and beautiful. But four is never enough when there are actually five. As I've thought about that story, about what happened yesterday, and as I keep peeking into the kitten box now and see all five nuzzled together with their mama, I believe that there's a greater truth from this story for me, for you, for all of us. You see, hopefully, you have people in your life just as much as I have people in my life, people that are doing well, that are healthy, that are strong, that are beautiful. And we can surround ourselves in these relationships, be it our family or our friends or our roommates or, you know, just whoever it is that we have in our lives. We can surround ourselves with these healthy people and we can say, that's enough. We're good. But if we'll take the time to be present, if we'll take the time, the opportunity to stop and to look, we may actually see, excuse my crass analogy, we may actually see a bloody trail. And we can just look the other way and pretend it doesn't exist, or we can follow that trail to see where it leads. And if we follow it and see where it leads, we may just find at the end of that trail somebody who's desperately hurting, somebody who is ice cold emotionally, if not physically, somebody who is dying, if not in their body, in their soul, or in their mind, or in their heart. And I believe that as Christ followers, He wants us to stop and pay attention. He wants us to take hold of that hurting person that He's placed in our path, and He wants us to wrap our hands around them. He wants us to wrap our arms around them, and He wants us to begin to cry out to Him and say, Father, what should I do here? I'll tell you, I know nothing about kitten triage. I don't know how to breathe life back into a near-dead kitten. I was asking God to show me what to do next. But really, isn't that what we should be doing as the body of Christ? As God puts people into our paths? It's not our job to save the whole world. I'm not saying that by this parable. But what I am saying is that there are people that God's placed in each of our lives that He wants us to make an impact on for His glory and for their good. As we think about this month, about what's your why? What's my why? What's your why? Why do we do what we do? I know that my why comes back to the fact that, well, He is worthy and they are worth it. The people that He's entrusted to me, they're worth it. Today, I was thinking of some of the names of the people that God has entrusted to me. The names, the faces. I think of their stories. I think of where they are. Not all of them are ice cold. Some of them are striving and growing and becoming the people that God wants them to be. They're like, well, the healthy, strong kittens in the kitten box. But some of the people that God's entrusted to me, well, they're like that little one that had fallen off, that had left behind a bloody trail, that was covered in filth, that was barely breathing, that was ice cold, and He doesn't want me to look the other way. And you know, friend, He's put people like that in your life too. I know He has. Whether you're a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a roommate, whether you're a young adult, maybe you're a kid, I know that God has put people into every one of our paths. And He wants us to take just a moment out of our busy lives to be aware, to be present, to be watchful. And then as we find that dying kitten, He wants us to scoop it up and turn to Him and then do exactly what He tells us to do to try to breathe life back into that child of His. Are you living that? Are you willing to get outside of your comfort zone to minister the love of Jesus to someone else? Are you willing to go beyond just your box, your family, your home, your immediate life, and look into somebody else's life and say, in the name of Jesus, I want to make a difference. I want to stand in the gap for you. You know, that's what the Family Disciple Me ministry is about. I am convinced with all my heart that God wants us as His people, as His children, God wants us to seek Him and then turn around and speak Him into the lives of those He entrusts to us. Sometimes this means that we get to have healthy back and forth discipleship conversations, but sometimes that means that we're speaking the truth of God's love, the hope of God's promises, the compassion of His care, the truth of His word over a broken, maybe even ice cold person that He sends to us. Oh friend, let's be people who live this. God is calling us as His followers. God is calling us as Family Disciple Me. God is calling His people, His churches, those that claim the name of Christ. He's calling us to live for more than ourselves. The Good Shepherd left the 99 to go after the one. He tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We walk in His steps when we walk with eyes open, hearts open, hands extended to love someone else in the name of Jesus. Oh friend, may all of us do this. May all of us live this kind of life. And as we do, as you do, I want to pray this prayer blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His countenance toward you. And as you turn your countenance to look toward those whom He puts in your path, as you turn your face toward them and extend your hands in compassion and cry out to Him saying, Father, how do you want me to invest in this one's life? As you do that, may He give you peace. Now go with God, friend. Be encouraged. Keep your eyes open. It may be a kitten along the way, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of His very own children. And I can't wait to hear how God uses you.